Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment, our relationship with, and impacts upon it. I'm Chris Cherniak, and joining me in studio is Emily Mean. She's a KPCW reporter, and one of her beats, is that the term, Chris? Emily? Is that what you kids use? One of your beats is the Utah legislature.
Right.
And the general session starts up next Monday. And this is when, well, I'll tell you what, Emily, can you give us a quick explanation of what the general session is about and how maybe it differs from other sessions during the course of the year?
Sure. So the general session of the Utah legislature runs for 45 days. This year it starts January 27th, which is next Monday. Mm-hmm. And this is really where state lawmakers do the bulk of their work. I think some people might be familiar with special sessions that the legislature holds.
Right.
They held one recently in December to vote on the new tax law that went into effect or is currently being implemented. But this is really where lawmakers can meet. You know, they're from all across the state. They gather at the state capitol in Salt Lake City, and they amend laws, they create laws, they have discussions and
resolutions too.
Resolutions,
laws, but they are. That's
statements.
What a resolution is. These statements of support for one thing or another, or acknowledgement of something or another. So all these bills are drafted up. And real quick, we'll provide additional details. Where's a good place to go? Where do you go to stay on top of all this legislative activity?
Sure. So the Utah legislature's website is actually pretty good for a government website.
Yeah.
You can find all the bills there. They're currently listed by number, the ones that are numbered. There are certainly hundreds and hundreds of bills that are not yet numbered, but just for some quick understanding, you'll see them labeled as HB 1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That means House Bill 1. That means whoever's sponsoring that bill is a representative in the House. But you might also see SB 1, which means it's sponsored by someone in the Senate, right? And then for those resolutions, which we'll get to, there are a few we'll talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Those can be sponsored by the House or the Senate, or they can be a resolution sponsored together. So those will be joint resolutions.
Joint resolutions.
Right.
So, okay. And yeah, I went on the site, and you're right. It was very easy to navigate. They had the bills, proposed bills listed in groupings by number, and just it lists their titles, general titles, and then for more information,
right,
click here, et cetera, et cetera. So a great place to go. We'll remind people again at the end of the website. Okay, so we went through, and we're gonna like you say, there's literally right now, just now, there's a couple hundred bills proposed covering all types of topics and concerns and issues. We're focusing obviously on those that are related to the environment, and that could include water-related issues, energy-related issues, other natural resources, et cetera, recycling and waste management, et cetera. But before we get into the details of those, we need to talk about what some of the framework here is, the setting, the foundation of this is the governor's budget. And he announced his budget in a speech.
Just recently. Yes.
And let's get a quick summary of that and again, what environmental issues were included in this proposed budget.
So the governor shows his priorities through his budget.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at the top of his budget, the biggest item is education. And for that, he proposed $4.9 billion this year. But a little further down on the list is air quality. And this year, just like last year, Governor Gary Herbert proposed $100 million for air quality related issues. And so, Chris, we were talking before this. The governor's budget doesn't always come to fruition. So
right.
This is his suggestion to the legislature. But in the end, the legislature decides how much money they appropriate to different issues. So last year, even though the governor proposed $100 million, the legislature set aside $28.7 million for air quality.
Okay.
Right.
And so he's doing the same thing. Hey, I'll I don't know. I'd like. Is that how is it literally phrased? I'd like to spend $100 million, or I'm okay if you spend $100 million.
I don't know if
he's not directing.
Kind of,
so you will spend. It. Right. It's just like, I want to spend $100 million on air quality program.
Sure.
All right. So that's in play, and now it's up to the legislature to, I guess, craft formal. A formal response to that.
Actually, the House Speaker Brad Wilson and Senate President Stuart Adams did respond to his budget, saying, you know, we appreciate this and we always like to work with the governor, that kind of thing. So, but it does depend on, you know, the Appropriations Committee, how much money actually gets spent on these issues.
Right.
So breaking down that air quality proposal just a little bit further, the governor has set aside this money, or hopes to set aside this money, for two different things. Mm. So $34 million, he hopes, goes towards increasing the public transit budget. And of course, we know that cars are a huge source of emissions,
right,
and result in air pollution, the inversion that we see over the
valley. That's primarily traffic related,
right,
vehicle related.
Right. And so some of this money will go toward, I believe I saw it, double tracking the front runner train.
Mm.
So the front runner would be able to be more convenient. It would be able to run more often, that kind of thing. And,
right,
you know, in the hopes that more people find that convenience and get on the train.
Okay.
And then the governor is also interested in spending $66 million to increase electric vehicle infrastructure.
Wow.
And so this would be for charger installation to broaden EV infrastructure all across the state. So that's kind of how he breaks that down in his budget proposal.
Okay. So there's $100 million under this rubric of air quality,
sure,
improvements. That improves air quality. It also improves transportation network in some,
right,
way. More people take mass transit, fewer people are on the roads, et cetera. Okay. There's another interesting thing he mentions in his proposals in his budget, $40 million for the creation of an endowment for open space and outdoor recreation infrastructure. Any other details on that? It's just a general term.
I saw some details within the proposal, which is about 150 pages long, this,
yes,
budget proposal. But, you know, it mentioned supporting a state park. I think Goblin Valley. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, there's Goblin Valley State
I haven't been
state
to that
park.
One. But that was mentioned in there. But in general, it's just, you know, as the population of Utah continues to grow, the governor wanted to make sure we're protecting what open space we have, kind of thing. So that's what that's for. But there are more details included in his,
yeah,
budget proposal.
And then just to kind of put a bow on this, $3 million is proposed. This is the governor's budget. Is proposed for better optimizing agricultural water use, $1 million to go towards improved water metering. Okay, so good stuff. And I like this one that you added, Emily. He is directing, this is great, he's directing the Utah Department of Transportation to do roadside mowing before the state's wildfire season begins, which usually starts in late spring. So maybe, I hope that's a directive. I want mowing done on the roadsides. Which makes perfect sense, because that's,
right,
obviously that's a source of wildfires.
Right. And, you know, as we've talked,
traffic,
about over the past year, we're seeing bigger and harsher
more intense fires
in the state
and those can be
everywhere else.
One of the primary sources of wildfires, vehicles, roadside based sources of fire. So actually, that's the fire that occurred a couple summers ago up in Tollgate Canyon.
Started off the
side
of a road.
Started by a vehicle dragging a chain, which created sparks, which ignited weeds, dried weeds along the roadside. So yes, it happens. And although it's funny that he's directed, they should be doing this. I don't understand why they're doing. He has to direct them to do.
Okay. I can look into it, Chris.
All right, thank you. Action item, Emily. All right, we're speaking with Emily Means, KPCW reporter, about the general session that's starting this Monday. Utah State Legislature is meeting in their general sessions, 45 days,
right,
from January 27th through March
12th.
Okay. plus or minus.
A Thursday.
We'll
it ends on
a
Thursday.
Let's now spend the last 10 minutes or so digging into some of these proposed bills from both the House and the Senate. And I wanted to start, Community Renewable Energy Act. That's not necessarily a bill that's being produced or proposed, but there is an update or so on that?
Right. So last year, this bill, HB 411, the Community Renewable Energy Act, passed in the legislature kind of at literally the very last moment of the legislative session. And it's something that Park City and Summit County really supported. They put a lot of weight behind this. But basically, the bill set into place a structure for local governments to partner with a utility, in this case, Rocky Mountain Power, to provide renewably sourced electricity to customers. So when the bill passed last year, it was just basically Park City, Summit County, and Salt Lake, and maybe Moab, I'm not quite sure on that, who were really interested in getting this program going. But there was a deadline for communities to express their interest in this program, and it was December 31st of 2019, so just not even a month ago, when cities needed to pass a resolution saying that they are committed to net 100% renewable energy by the year 2030. And so 24 cities and counties, you know, your local governments, signed on to this to participate. So, you know, this is not a bill for this year. This is not an amendment that they'll be tacking onto this bill for this year. This is just the next step in that process. So the next thing for local governments to do is negotiate the terms of service with Rocky Mountain Power. And then Rocky Mountain Power will take that plan to the Public Service Commission, where they, you know, they'll approve rates, they'll approve those terms of service. Then it'll come back to the community, and community members who don't want to participate will need to opt out of the program. So as it stands and as it's written in the Community Renewable Energy Act, it's opt out. So basically everyone's participating unless they say otherwise.
Ah, okay.
Right. So I just want to let people know where we're at with that.
Well, although that's a bill from last year, HB 411, that's a great success. That shows the heavy lifting that was done by Park City Municipal, Matt Dias and Luke Carton and Celia Peterson and others who helped get that bill across the finish line and get it established. It's a bill, it's an act that just 5 or 6 years ago wouldn't even be considered, in all honesty, by this legislature. That's how far we've come in changing minds and changing attitudes and outlooks in HB 411, ongoing efforts. So now let's dig into a couple of these proposed HBs. I wanted to start with HB 88, titled School and Child Care Center Water Testing Requirements, sponsored by Steve Handy, a Republican out of Layton.
And Steve Handy is actually the representative who sponsored HB 411. So let me give a little bit of context here. At the legislature, they have what they call the Clean Air Caucus. It's not a formal committee or anything like that. It's just kind of, you know, legislators get together and they talk about clean air solutions, essentially. So Steve Handy is a member of this caucus, and it's a bipartisan thing. And I think oftentimes when we're talking about this environmental legislation, you'll see members of the Clean Air Caucus sponsoring that type of legislation. Mm. So we've got a couple things on here from Steve Handy. And this one in particular requires testing drinking water for lead at schools and childcare centers. And interestingly, Chris, I noticed that Handy ran a similar bill last year that did not pass.
Interesting.
I don't know why it didn't pass. Right. I'd have to listen back to the discussion. But it's back again.
Okay.
And I think last year it was particularly relevant because at the time, in 2019, there was this incident in Sandy City where there were some concerns about lead levels in the drinking water. And Sandy City was actually cited for not making that clear to its constituents in a timely manner. So I think this is just kind of following up on those issues. And making sure that this is something that's taken care of.
Well, here's the two things I pulled from this that I found interesting. It says a school or child care center shall test each consumable tap, water tap at the school or child care center for lead, just about lead, by no later than June 1st, 2022.
So that's this is two years away.
Yes, that's and every 5 years afterwards. Okay, and so that's, you know, hey, great, we're testing for lead, but you could test twice during this decade, in 2022 and then 2027, and that would be it. You would satisfy all your drinking water testing requirements for school tap water. That's, but I thought this was going to be an annual test, which it should. More or less, but okay. All right, it's a start. Maybe that's why it didn't pass, Emily,
maybe.
Last year because it was too stringent or something.
Steve Handy, Representative Handy, is really accessible, and so this is definitely something I could follow up on.
Okay.
And ask him why there aren't more stringent requirements. But associated with this bill is a joint resolution, SJR2, and this is Representative Handy's resolution as well as Senator Jani Iwamoto, who's a Democrat from Holiday. And it's the joint resolution encouraging action to reduce the number of Utah children with elevated blood lead levels. So like we mentioned, resolutions are kind of statements by the legislature. You know, this is something that we're supportive of, or, you know, that kind of thing. So this resolution would describe the health effects and concerns of childhood lead exposure and the benefits of avoiding childhood lead exposure.
No, it's interesting. They cite in the resolution 132 preschool age children tested in 2018 had elevated blood levels. 132 preschool, had elevated blood, but only roughly 4% of children ages 0 to 5 years old were tested in 2018. So of the only 4%, they found 132 of those children tested with elevated blood levels. So that kind of gives you a sense that there are a lot of children, preschool children, that could have elevated blood lead levels, and they need to be tested. And what's interesting is that Utah Medicaid pays for the screening, blood lead level screening for children. So that's, you know, that can cover, if you're under Medicaid, you can get that covered. So this is a real interesting thing, and good for the legislature for taking this on and addressing it, because lead in blood has serious impacts, neurological impacts, on children, primarily the high risk populations of here, children. So okay, so that's an example. Of course, we're running out of time, and some of the other bills are on water facility amendments, Clean Energy Act amendments. That's kind of the changing definitions and terms.
Right.
Waste tire recycling amendments, again, basically redefining what a waste tire facility is, or waste tire pile facilities. And believe me, you don't, as an environmental engineer who's worked on cleaning those up, you really don't want one around you.
Are they messy?
They're unbelievably messy. They're sources of biological vectors. Mosquitoes love to live inside tires and things like that. Other issues, and when they catch fire, they're really problematic to put out, because basically a tire is made from oil, and it's basically an oil-based fire, and so you just can't use water inside. They just burn and burn and burn. Okay, that's a waste tire pile amendment.
So there are a lot of bills related to environmental issues. Mm-hmm. And Chris, one thing before I head out of here, I did talk with Park City Manager Matt Dias last week, just to kind of get a sense of what he is keeping an eye on this legislative session. Mm. And people might remember the plastic bag ban bill from last year, and also the year before. So as our listeners may know, Park City implemented a plastic bag ban on single-use plastic bags at a couple of locations within city limits a couple of years ago. And Representative Mike McKell is one legislator who's just not a fan of that kind of ordinance, that local ordinance. And so he ran the plastic bag ban bills from last year and the year before. So Matt says he's keeping an eye on that. He's also keeping an eye on legislation related to e-bike use on trails. And I know that that's something that Park City residents care about very much. So we'll take a look out for anything related to that. But again, many of these bills haven't even been numbered yet. There are thousands of bill files already open, but they have yet to be numbered. So we'll keep an eye on all of those things. And I just wanted to mention that on Mondays during the legislative session, I'll be on with Leslie Thatcher during the local news hour, 8:15 a.m. on Mondays, doing a weekly legislative report. So if people are interested in learning more about the legislature, they can listen in there. Or we have some pretty good resources to recommend, if I may, Chris.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so like we said, the legislature's website, le.utah.gov, is pretty good. But if you're interested in environmental legislation specifically, I would check out the HEAL Utah Bill Tracker just on their website, which I think is probably healutah.org.
H-E-A-L.
H-E-A-L. Or you can go directly to the Department of Environmental Quality's website, where they are tracking all of this legislation as well. So those are good places to follow bills. There's also an app from the legislature. I think it's called Bill Watch. And you can tag bills you're interested in, and then you'll get updates on when they'll be heard in committee.
And I got to finish with this one.
Sure.
Senate Bill 59, Daylight Saving Time Amendments. This bill, subject to congressional authorization, would place Utah on a year-round mountain daylight time. I cannot remember
so,
do we go back? Do we stop going or do we stop going forward?
I had to look up the definition. So standard time means earlier sunrises and sunsets. Daylight saving time means later sunrises and sunsets. So I guess we would be on later sunrises and sunset time. And this actually stems from a resolution they passed last year in the legislature.
Yeah. So it's ongoing.
Yeah.
In any case, we would no longer have to move our clock forward or back. We just set it and forget it. It stays the same. It doesn't move anymore.
Write your legislator.
Okay.
If you're interested.
SB 59.
SB 59.
Or ask Emily Means to explain all this when you see her. Emily Means, KPCW reporter, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us. And we'll have you back.
Sure.
Occasionally.
For an update.
For more updates.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's take a break for an underwriter and sponsors. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the county's new Burn Smart program. It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.